Hare Krishna. I think this is only the beginning. It is, we will become much, much more hot. And at this time, you must reflect upon what it could mean that you are not the body. Today I would like, in the first section, to read about our attachment to the material body and the need to detach from it as a means to survive the Splitsky summer. but then I have some other subjects. The tip is, when you can't sleep, you must go into the ocean, cool down, and then you can sleep, and then everything is tolerable. And the problem is not so much the heat, that the problem is that we become exhausted, and therefore please rest enough, and that is not easy when it's so hot. So the remedy I heard from my hosts, who are extremely experienced in the ways of surviving a split summer, the remedy is, before you go to take your rest, then you take your swim, then you rest. Is this correct, Sharanga Thakur? It's one of the ways. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning I would like to read from a section of the Bhagavatam, but I must admit that I forgot the English text, but fortunately found Srila Prabhupada's, not the English text, the Sanskrit text, I fortunately found in my red bag Srila Prabhupada's translation of this section. See, in Maharaj Parikshit had a very important question. He had heard that after Brahma had stolen the cowherd boys, Krishna had expanded himself into all the stolen cowherd boys, and he had done it so extremely well that there was absolutely no difference between the expanded cowherd boys and those who had been taken by Brahma and hidden in a cave in what is this place again? Satyaloka. You know, Krishna expanded so perfectly in the cowherd boys that their smiles were the same. The little things on the ear were the same.
Even one cowherd boy had a dhoti which was a little bit ripped here. When Krishna expanded into that cowherd boy, the dhoti was also ripped in exactly the same place and exactly the same length. So the mothers of the stolen cowherd boys could not possibly find out that Brahma had stolen their boys. Krishna had wanted to save them from this panic, which is there when, you know, when a mother finds out her little boy is missing for 1 day and for a week, or in this case for a whole year, the poor mother is will panic, of course. So Krishna had expanded in this leela into the stolen cowherd boys to save the mothers of Vrindavan from the pain of feeling of dealing with the fact that their son was missing. But Krishna had at the same time another reason why he expanded into the missing cowherd boys and also into the missing calves. Krishna had heard the prayers of the elderly gopis to have him as their son, with all what this means. One aspect of the very affectionate relationship between the mother and her children is that the mother will breastfeed her little boy or daughter. So these cowherd ladies had seen the irresistible attractive feature of Lord Krishna, and they had this secret desire: if he could be my son and I could take care of him like that, that would be the perfection of my life. So Krishna, knowing this, had expanded himself into analogous cowherd boys and cowherd and calves. The cows, similarly, when they saw Krishna, they thought in the cow way: if I could only, you know, directly feed him with my milk. And Krishna had at times, you know, responded to this by just going to the cow and sucking from the udder. But it was not the same like a calf would do it. So Krishna had expanded into calves. Now, elderly cowherd ladies, this was explained by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit, love these expanded forms which Krishna had manifested from his transcendental body. Do they think they loved them the same as their own children? More, much more. So when Parikshit Maharaj heard this, he was astonished. Then Shukadev Goswami, just to make it more clear, told a pastime within the pastime which had happened towards the end of this 1 year. Simply said, the cowherd men had brought the cows on top of Govardhan Hill, when all of a sudden in the valley of Govardhan Hill, Krishna, Balaram and the calves came by. What calves were these, please? The Krishna calves, isn't it? Expanded, yes, thank you, Prema Murti. So when the cows, who were on top of the Govardhan mountain, saw what they thought to be their own calves
But what they felt was so much more attractive than their own calves. They galloped down the hill without considering if they would maybe break their legs. They were coming like bullets to the down, feeling so much attraction to these expanded, let us call them Krishna calves, and fed them. So the cowherd men, when they saw that there was a stampede around these cows, you must know these were a big number of cows. They were in the cowherd men identities a little disturbed, so they took their sticks and tried to keep the cows in like a corral, but the cows didn't care about this and just went by them. This is no cowherd man can tolerate it. Then they took their stick up. Do you know what the cows did? They broke the jumping record and just jumped over the sticks because they felt so much attraction to these calves, which they thought were their own, but really they were expanded of Krishna. The cowherd men were furious. This was really too much, and they felt very hurt in their cowherd men identities. You know, they're good cowherd men, and they can't even control their own cows. So they came running after the cows. But when they saw the cowherd boys, who were, again, let us call them Krishna cowherd boys, you know, Krishna was adopted, all their anger disappeared in 1 second. And they just forgot all about getting back the cows. They just took the cowherd boys, embraced them, and cried and cried and cried. So it was a scene of love. You know, the cows were with their calves, and they were crying and feeding them from their own milk, and the calves were really into it, and the men were there crying with their boys and from love and their arms and smelling their heads. That's a sign of affection displayed by parents to their children. And Shukadev heard this. He asked, when Parikshit Maharaj heard this, he said, check it, wait a minute, how is this possible? That there is so much love is coming out of the heart, that there are these loving scenes in Vrindavan. Prabhupada has said in the seventh canto in Vrindavan, everyone loves only Krishna. The trees love Krishna. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda love Krishna. The gopis and the gopas love Krishna. The cowherd boys love Krishna. The streams of water love Krishna. The leaves on the tree love Krishna. Actually, the leaves on the tree, they always chant Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. The secret information which we got. So everything is just full of love there. And Parikshit Maharaj, who heard this, he was absolutely surprised. And Shukadev Goswami said that in the mid, and this I want to read now because it relates to you and your miserable eyes because you sweat so much. Shukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit in this connection, said Prabhupada, that every living entity here in this world is actually most attached to his own self. Outward things and people such as home, family, friends,
country, society, wealth, opulence, reputation are only secondary to pleasing the living entity. These things, like the wife, the husband, children, they please only because they bring pleasure to one's own self. For this reason, one is self-centered and is attached to his body and the self more than he is to relatives like wife, children, and friends. This may come as a cold piece of ice in the stomach of those who have just fallen in love amongst you. There is something in the Dhammapada about this also. It was one day the queen woke up and looked at her husband, who was still sleeping. And she thought, actually, I really love only myself. So when the king had woken up, the queen came and said, "My dear," I don't know how she addressed him, "but I found out this morning when I woke up and you were still asleep that really, I mean, can I say what I felt?" "Yes," said the king, "I really love only myself." The king smiled and said, "I'm happy that you say it, because this morning I also felt, I was thinking I love you, but really I love only myself. It's because in your presence I feel some increased form of pleasure." I said, "This is very bad. What should we do?" I mean, they were very high class aristocrats. And they said, "We didn't know that we are so selfish. Let's go to the Buddha." And so they went into the place where the Buddha was staying, and they were telling the Buddha of their new discovery, that they actually only love themselves. And the Buddha said, they were worried. They were not like in Kali Yuga, "Ha ha, I love only, I don't love you." No, they were concerned. Why are we so selfish? Why can't we love another person? What is wrong with us? So the Buddha said, "Now you have understood. This is material love. Because one is self-centered and is attached to his body and self, because one is self-centered, therefore one is attached to his body and self more than he is to relatives like wives, children, and friends. And now Prabhupada gives a proof. If there is some immediate danger to one's own person, he first of all takes care of himself, then to others. Imagine at this moment a monster would enter through the door which has been carefully opened by Ekanti this morning, and would be there. You would all jump up and try to save yourself first. It would be an intuitive, immediate reaction. That is natural, says Prabhupada. That means, more than anything else, he loves his own self. The next important object of affection after his own self is, what do you think? Maybe you said it right, because I couldn't acoustically understand. The next important object of affection after his own self is his own material body. A person who has no information of the spirit soul is very much attached to his material body. So much so, I know this what comes now, that even in old age he wants to preserve the body in so many artificial ways, thinking that his old and broken body can be saved. Jack, you can ask Sharanga Thakur and Jai Krishna. I have such a big medicinal bag with me because I love this body very much, in the sense I want to maintain it. Huh? Everyone is working hard day and night just to give pleasure to his own self under either the bodily or spiritual concept of life. Even some of us who are thinking spiritually want to be spiritually happy, and therefore we want to learn to chant God, but it's still us who are in the center. We are so attached to material possessions because they give pleasure to the senses or to the body. The attachment to the body is there only, now Prabhupada says, only because the I, the spirit soul, is within that body. Similarly, when one is further advanced, he knows that the spirit soul is pleasing only because it is a part and parcel of Krishna. Do you get Prabhupada here? He's trying to make a logical case why we are attached to the to our own self. When we think we are the body, we are attached to the body. When we think we are the spirit soul, we are attached to the spiritual soul. From where comes this impetus, this tremendous motivation to work hard for bodily satisfaction? It comes because the I is part of Krishna, who's so attractive. It is natural, in other words, that we, when we are not enlightened, are attracted either to the body or to our own self. Because this, we come from Krishna. Ultimately, therefore, it is Krishna who's pleasing and all attractive. He is the super soul of everything. And in order to give us this information, Krishna descends and shows us that the all-attractive center is He Himself. Without being an expansion of Krishna, nothing can be attractive. Even the world, which we might find attractive, is attractive. Why? Because it's an energy of Krishna. Krishna has somehow brought into everything his attractive potency. Do you understand the reasoning of this? Radhavi, note, is it clear? Mm-hmm. If you want to read it in your own reading time, it's in the section Lord Prayers Offered by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna. It's in the Krishna book, chapter 14 on page 111. So, from this, I would like to say that if you want to have a pleasing life, if you want to have, let me say, a spiritually progressive life, have a lot of Krishna in their life. Some of us feel it is easier to pursue Krishna consciousness in a relationship, and that is fine and can be very, very supportive. Prabhupada would call these relationships, he would say, it doubles the strength. So either male-female relationship, or male-male relationship, or female-female relationships, you know, friends, it will help us very much. But there is a secret to make it work. Add Krishna to it. Very important.
Prabhupada wrote a letter about spiritual mathematics. He said in the letter to Ekendra, 2 + 2 = 4. 5 + 5 = 10. You never know what Prabhupada would say, so you maybe for some reason it is 12, you know, in Prabhupada's perspective. Now listen carefully. Everything plus Krishna is Vrindavan. That's transcendental mathematics. How I think, Mandakini, you are appreciating this very much. Let us hear it again. 2 + 2, those who like to take notes, this is a good time to take notes. 2 + 2 = 4. 5 + 5 = 10. Everything plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. Note how Prabhupada says everything. He doesn't say only chanting plus Krishna, you know, equals Vrindavan. Everything. It could mean your job plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. It could mean your friendships plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. It could mean your food plus Krishna, means you offer it to Krishna, equals Vrindavan. Everything means everything. It's a lot. Music, Madhuri Manjari is our musician. Your music plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. I saw this yesterday when there was such wonderful music done by our Mantra Fusion Band. I think Mantra Fusion Band is the name. Do I get it right? And I'm a great music lover, so I recognized one piece of music which I very much appreciate for the skill of the composition. And I very much appreciate it. Wow, this is music plus Krishna. Now I can hear. I remember even how once they played Hey Gopala, it's like the Hey Yovana, you know, the Yugoslavian. Every young person goes, no, not this, you know, please not this. It is so foolish, you know. And so on. But they were playing this particular music with Krishna. Hey Govinda, something like this. I cannot sing it so beautifully. Di Gopala, Gopala, lu, you know, and even this foolish piece of music plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. This is what Prabhupada wants to say here. Add Krishna into this, because Krishna is the main attractive force. When we hear here in this Krishna book section, point that actually we love either the body or the self, or even objects out there, because they are expended from Krishna, we should feel happy. It means that we can now know the attractive glitter in all this comes from Krishna. Therefore, let me not exclude Krishna, but let me make an effort to really give him his place, because he belongs there. He belongs there. And I could see in Srila Prabhupada's own life that he would know the art of adding Krishna and making thus everything truly meaningful. There is this, I must say, I did have 5 times association with Srila Prabhupada. And you know what you felt as a disciple, or just as a, when you entered into his presence, you could really feel he was not alone. You could really feel Krishna was there. And I might have told it many times, but I cannot get tired to tell it again and again. We had been in Paris, and we had prepared a very nice hall for Prabhupada to lecture, and then Srila Prabhupada came and delivered a nice lecture, and it was a nice time. Prabhupada wanted to spend time with us so we could go with him on morning walks and so on. And then it came time to say goodbye, because Prabhupada would continue to fly somewhere. I do not know where, maybe America. And we had already, and we knew he would leave in the morning, so because we had a long way to Germany, we wanted to leave early in the morning, but we wanted to say personally goodbye. We means the German devotees. And so we were four or five of us, and we had brought a nice wool blanket. You know, wool blankets are very good. Maybe not now, but very good. And we, I wanted to give it to Srila Prabhupada. It was my, I said, let me give it. I am the best Sankirtan man. Let me give it. I was not the best Sankirtan man, but I was, I said like this because I wanted to give it. So I still remember, we walked up this, we asked the servant, we walked up the stairs, and we went into his room. We opened the room, but there was no one there, it was empty. So we went back the stairs and asked the servant, where is Srila Prabhupada? He's not in his room. The servant said, he is in his room. You have tomatoes on your eyes. I remember this still. You have tomatoes on the eyes. I said, no, he's not in his room. Go again. I know that he's in there. I'm just here. He was on the foot of the staircase. There was some shower, and he was washing some clothes. Maybe his own clothes or Srila Prabhupada's clothes. I don't know. It was saffron clothes. So, just looked very good. And I remember we went up, and we knocked again at the door. No response. And then I opened the door. This was like the door. And went right into the room. But there was no one there. Then when I returned, somehow, maybe from my childhood, because I know we always played hide and seek, maybe children. I looked in the, it's called the shade of the door, you know, and there was Prabhupada. He was hiding from visitors. But Prabhupada, you know, first thing, he sat on a rocking chair and his eyes were closed. And around him, there was this atmosphere which made you stop in your tracks. Those who have seen Prabhupada have reported that there was either a light around him, this is what some of us perceived, or at least there was an atmosphere which was, I mean, which was just, you couldn't come close. It was something around him. The bodyguard of Mick Jagger has spoken about the charisma of Mick Jagger. When Mick Jagger came somewhere,
there were obvious people who wanted to come close, and he was there to avoid it. But he had this is called material charisma. You just can't come close because you know this is a very energetic person, and a better somehow. I don't know. Have you seen people who are very charismatic in your life, who have a lot of maybe no
yes.
Yeah. Not all of you have seen. You are not traveling so much outside of, but you know, if you come, for instance, to the strongest man, there's Mr. Strongman. He works together with us in Govindas, the strongest man of the world. He can carry a tree for 20 meters, as if this is important. But he's very strong, strongest man. And he is a vegetarian and likes Govindas, and now develops with Govindas a suite for strongmen, which is absolutely vegan even. He wants to spread vegan, and because Govindas in Germany, as a devotee company, is producing vegan things, the strongman wants to go. When you come close to him, you just feel so in Prabhupada's case it was 100 times more. I would always go to these charismatic people, and I would of course not stop, you know, it's not my nature. I would talk and shake the hand and all, but with Prabhupada you couldn't do that. There was such an effulgence, such an energy, and this was Krishna. He always had Krishna. He said this once very humbly in a letter. I cannot remember a time when I was not thinking of Krishna. It's simply not there. He's always in the company of Krishna. In other words, he's always in Vrindavan. Everything plus Krishna is Vrindavan. And so he was sitting there, and we were there with our woolen blanket looking at him, and hoping he would look at us, because we couldn't disturb him. That was clear. And after some time, Prabhupada opened his eyes. What do you want? Like this, you know. Because he wanted to chant. So Prabhupada looked at us, and he was in a total different, you know. And you felt everything was so foolish. You were foolish, the blanket was foolish, your reason to give him a blanket was foolish, because in comparison to him, everything looked, came in a different place. And then we said, Prabhupada saw us, you know, we were his disciples, and we just wanted to lovingly say goodbye to the Father. Mm-hmm. He said, Prabhupada, we need to go back to Germany. And immediately his mood softened, and he got up and said, and Prabhupada, we have given you, we have brought you a present. Oh, said Prabhupada, like in the sense, let me see. So we had the wool blanket, we unpacked it so that he could see it. We said, this is best German wool. We said something foolish. I think there's also good Croatian wool, you know, it's not that Germans have the best of everything. and we brought it for your pleasure. And Prabhupada was pleased, he saw our genuine effort. But he wanted to chant, so we understood this, and we just paid our obeisances and left the room. But somehow this moment of association with someone who has added Krishna was, I never can forget it. It's one of the, when someone asks me, why do you like Prabhupada so much? I say, because you must understand, he is with Krishna. And if you go to the Manak Shiksha, that is the instruction which a devotee gives his mind in the morning,
then you can see the way you'd think of the spiritual master is as Mukunda Preshta, the one who's dear to the Lord. In other words, he is added Krishna. He is with Krishna. He's a friend of Krishna, and Krishna is his friend. This is a very nice, thing. Such sadhus, really, who have added Krishna, are very, very special. In the Bhagavatam, the Lord says, Sarunam Hridayamhayam. These sadhus live in my heart, and I live in their heart. I do not know anything that the sadhus, that they occupy my mind. And similarly, they do not know anything but me. Here we speak maybe not of just young devotees who try to be devotees. We speak really of sadhus who are visat. Sat means with the eternal reality and with Krishna. So I think these great devotees teach us, if anyways what you are attracted to is only attractive because of Krishna, then why not go to Krishna? Do you feel this is a good logic, Anuradha? If anyways what you feel attracted to, let us say the ocean, you know, the Yatranka, is it Yatranka? No, Yatranske, not Yatranka. I'm sorry, I always say, what is Yatranka? Sorry. When you feel attracted to the Yatranska more. I feel attracted to the Yatranska more. It's attractive, no? How it is with the waves and the nice fresh breeze which comes. You can feel it when you are landing on the airport. And I'm at the more. I'm at the Yadranska more. Yadranska. Why is it attractive? Because Krishna. It is. It's a part of Krishna. It's Krishna's belly, you know, very attractive belly of the Lord. So, therefore, I would really like to request you, don't stop with your attraction at your body or yourself, you know. Go further and discover really an ocean of attractiveness. A vast attractiveness which will fascinate you so much that you will give up living a boring, compromised life where you're neither a materialist nor a spiritualist. You will find this. Add Krishna. And this is not difficult. You can add him to everything. You can even add him to your misery. Because some of us are always lamenting, add him to your misery, and it will become Krishna conscious. Add Krishna to everything. There is a very nice part in Krishna Leela where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes out of the bathroom biting his tongue, and he meets a small little boy, and the boy says, why are you biting your tongue? And Lord Chaitanya said, I want to stop my tongue from chanting Hare Krishna in the bathroom where I've just gone to pass. And the little boy says, this is not a good idea to stop chanting. Chant always. And he says, he gives two reasons. Krishna will not be contaminated by even the contaminating influence of this room. Bathrooms are rooms which we ordinarily like to leave quickly after we are done. And Krishna, and you never know when you will die. Maybe you die on the bathroom. And therefore, it's good to chant at Krishna, even to the in the bathroom. You know, that is a very good analysis by Gopal Guru. And I find Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with him. He said, "What's your name?" "Gopal." "No, you are Gopal Guru," he said. And he took the little boy and set him on his lap and was just hugging him. "You have given me a very valuable instruction today." What this example shows for me is that you can add Krishna to your life. You don't have to be very shy. You don't have to think, "No, now I'm, you know, now I'm doing things." Maybe you do things which you want to hide before the devotees, because the devotees are not always as tolerant as Krishna. Maybe there's something you do, and I don't know, eat too much, and you don't want that the devotees see it, so that they don't criticize your impressive belly, and so on. But you can add Krishna to everything. Obviously, I don't want to be misunderstood. We try to be as respectful as possible to Krishna. But don't think he cannot be added to anything. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this verse, which many of us like so much, the verse is, whatever you do with the body, mind, intelligence, that should be offered to Narayana Yeti Samapayat. I like to try to chant it. Kaye navacha manasendriyevaye buddhya. What? Oh, it's too hot. I'm trying to learn this verse, but now some part of my brain has melted. But the verse ends with Narayana Yeti Samapayet Tvam. It means, whatever I do, it should be offered to Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, an ordinary kami brushes his teeth in the morning, usually with an eucalyptus tree, eucalyptus branch, not a tree. And then he cleanses his body. And then he talks with his family members about what needs to be done during the day. So he does this for himself, but a devotee of Krishna does all this for Krishna. The way I personally practice this is, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I just shout, "Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna," you know, just poof, and then I try to jump out of the bed. Now I'm no longer so fast, but I try to get enthusiastically out of the bed. Not, "Oh no, why is the alarm clock so cruel? Kill your alarm clock. This is the right thing to do in the morning." No, I like to jump out and offer my obeisances when I'm in good consciousness. Sometimes I'm forgetting this, to be honest, but I want to do this very regularly because it sends a sign. I want to offer this day for Radha and Krishna. And then while you are in the shower, when you start like this in a highly energetic, good mood, you know, jumping out of your bed, paying your obeisances, calling out Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, you know, then, very good. You have a very good attitude towards your life. And you do everything which needs to be done in the bathroom with the idea to make yourself fit for a day in Krishna consciousness. That is very good. And then you are very attractive. Yashoda Jivan told me one of his secrets. He's training the managers of C and A, C and R, and he's training and giving his training sessions in Vienna sometimes, everywhere. He's very important trainer in CIA or C and R. C and A. Big company. And they want to know, why is Yashoda Jivan so happy? It's because 2 plus 2 is 4, we know this. 5 plus 5 is 10, we know this, the managers say. But everything plus Krishna is Vrindavan. Wow, what formula is that? That's my formula. Everything plus Krishna is Vrindavan. This is and we heard a little of this supreme attractive power of Krishna and Vrindavan. This is really amazing. It is really something. It's not an ordinary attractive force. So I wanted to just say this in a simple way. I wish you a very Krishna conscious day, a very inspired day in your life, as this is our last chance to associate together. We will have not the very last, in the afternoon we have our Sunday feast. We will invite the sun right in the right in the room. It will be quite warm. Yeah, I must say it, but there will be outsides also, so I would say to you, I was very happy to come to split. I thought also the program was very nice. You know, we had a morning program for those who are a little bit more focused, but also the relaxed devotees who are relaxing their spiritual effort a little, had an evening program with the nice lessons from Narada Muni. And we had, and I pushed you a little in the deep water. I never will forget this, how you came out of the cave and you looked different. And you didn't know what had happened to you. And I thought, mission completed. I have, somehow by Krishna's mercy, they have been removed from their ordinary level of consciousness. And it's good. They don't need to understand what this is. But they don't need. It's not. As soon as you try to intellectualize an experience, you bring it down to a level where it's no longer the same thing what it actually is. You interpret it, you try to explain it in concepts which you have now, but which are not enough to explain what happens on a level above you. It's therefore good to not even talk at length about it. Yeah, so I was very happy. I received, got such nice Manisha Prashad again. I would travel 10,000 miles for Manisha Prashad. It's always very, very amazing. Yesterday we had avocado with mango and something, some sugar from Philippines, from the palm trees. And so on. It was very nice also to meet all of you and have personal discussions. Although time is always very short, but at least we try. And I feel we met during the kirtans, we met during the katas on the spiritual level, which is very important. And I want to thank really the devotees, most of all our Yashoda Jivan and his direct
very capable assistant, Kamala Sundari, and their large team. There were drivers in the team, cooks from Zagreb were coming. A big team effort, I believe it was. Garland makers, sweet boy rollers, cookie cookers, and a big community effort. Really, it was very, very nice to spend this time in Krishna consciousness together, chanting and hearing about Krishna and his dear devotees. It's very nice. I take very pleasant memories from this journey, and I felt also we could look at Krishna consciousness in some depths, not just on the surface, but a little deeper. And I wanted to request you to, if you really want to utilize this time which we spent together, is an important time for you to move on or to move forward. Please take a little time after this Bhakti Fest to reflect about the things which struck you, the things which came to you and you paid special notice to them. And then don't let it go in through your heart and out through your heart, or in through your eyes and out through your brain. And capture one or two points and integrate them in your life. Then you will really feel you have made you have stepped on the stepnitsa of Krishna consciousness. Oh yeah, we made once a seminar which Adya typed, stepnitsa sa Krishna, sapulo Krishna consciousness it was called. You need some steps on your journey, in your staircase, or stairways to Krishna consciousness, and you really need to see that you don't throw away the steps which have been given to you by Krishna. Keep the steps, some granite step, maybe you got a golden step, maybe you got a yellow or a red step, whatever step you got, integrate that. Screw it on your stairways to Krishna consciousness. Put it there. It should be kept there. It should be integrated into your life so that you can move forward. Krishna, I'm sorry, I'm a little late. We will not be able to have questions and answers now because we are a little late. Oh, Manisha, you are there. I didn't want to say this in your presence. It's good to say good things about others in their absence. It is better. Material life means to talk good things in their presence and bad things in their absence. That is material life. That is a culture, the material culture. Spiritual culture is talk good things in their absence, but talk about the things which could be improved only in their presence, not when others are present. That is better to do like this. It's more spiritual and more beneficial for the community. Good things we talk in the absence. And we can also talk good things in the presence of someone. Doesn't mean that, okay, Sachinanda Swami Kaje, I'm meeting you now. You rascal, you need cough. No, it's not about this. Krishna, sometimes one goes crazy in this movement. I'm sorry, I should not have said it. It does mean you talk heavy when you meet someone. It's not about this. It's about if there is something to be improved, then it is, that is a good place. But talk nicely. The best is all the time talk encouragingly and nicely about Krishna consciousness. You can't believe how I'm quoted in the Belkanes. You can't believe what people say I said. You can't believe it's beyond my wildest dreams of putting words together, you know. Anyways, it's not a problem, because they are all good, very good devotees, very good hearted. It's just the minds are different. Good. So good. So Svinayabhaji, Svichi Biti Oredo, and what is the slogan? 2 + 2 = 4. 5, isn't it nice? 5 + 5 = 10. Well, yes. Is it really? It's, by the way, it's not always 10, but I'm not getting into that. But one thing is sure, it may be sometimes not work that 2 + 2 = 4. You know, for instance, when you have a rotten tomato and you add it to another, 2 rotten tomatoes plus 2 other rotten tomatoes, then you have no tomatoes left. You know, it's not 4, but everything is nishta. You know, so 2 + 2 = not always 4. But everything plus Krishna is always Vrindavan. We can trust in Krishna. We can rely on Krishna. So we may not be able to rely on rotten in mundane, sorry, getting a little carried away, in mundane mathematics. 2 + 2 = not always a couple. Sometimes they are divorced after a short time, you know. To 1 + 1 = not always 2, you know. The material world is a relative world. That means when there are other circumstances, it doesn't work out. Krishna plus, no, everything plus Krishna is always Vrindavan. Please don't forget this. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Gaur.